Loving God, on this Christmas Eve, we thank you for these, the lessons of our story. Lessons of your story taught to us as Christ comes for us, as we now stop and consider what we have heard, what it makes us think and feel. Speak to our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said to the children, well, we got to do something now, don't we? There has to be a response. We know, don't we, that Christ is coming for us symbolically. In that encounter, we know further that God gives humanity the perfect Christmas gift, wrapped neatly in swaddling cloth and lying in the manger, a vulnerable child given to redeem a vulnerable creation. We know also that this service tonight is the culmination of our hope and our Advent preparations. But with all of that truth before us, with all of these lessons lying here that we've read, and the many readings we'll continue with, and the things they will ping in our minds, the reality and the gravity of the incarnation, it can still be hard to embrace. This evening changes our lives. And yet it's still so hard to comprehend how and why. Even on Christmas Eve, fear is still present. So where are we this Christmas Eve evening, spiritually? Are we confused and afraid, unable to express in totality what tonight means for us and how important the Savior is for us? If that is the case, we are in quite good company, as many have gone before us and felt the same way. Fear takes many forms in our lives. If you've been out today Christmas shopping, for example, the fear of purchasing the right gift was there. Not to mention the fear of just getting out of the store in one piece. Questions, though, around that gift, like, well, what if they don't like it? Or what if I misjudge their character? Come right along with thoughts of, what if I've misread this person's interests and their likes and who they are, and so I present them this gift that I've thought about and agonized over, and they're offended or they're confused. I mean, seriously, who likes to receive a vacuum on Christmas morning? Ask my mother. Then Christmas gift fear runs into societal fear. We turn on the news, or we open the paper, or click the link. Regardless of how we get there, we are confronted with fear emotionally. And further, regardless of what side of the aisle you reside on, something looks amiss when we stop and consider what we see there. Are we really supposed to be like this? Turn that gaze globally and consider not just terrorism, but issues of poverty, human trafficking, and the fear in you grows. There is much to be afraid of. Throughout the Nativity narrative, we have found people, as we've gone through Advent together, who look and think and act like us. And it's comforting to know we're not alone in this. The shepherds, for tonight's case, were not only afraid in our text, as the scripture tells us, but their fear was, in Luke's mind, a fear that induces panic, terror, and a desire to run away. For Luke, the fear the shepherds face is so strong that he uses the word twice to define it back to back. Our translation just says, as you heard, terrified. But Luke uses it twice to reinforce the gravity of what he's saying. It would sound something like this in our vernacular if we were to be there in that moment writing on behalf of Luke. The glory of the Lord shone upon them, and they were terrified with great terror. Hear the extra emphasis? Not just terrified, they're really terrified at what's happening. Even on Christmas Eve, at the celebration of the incarnation, with lessons and carols and joy, fear lives here too. For like so many characters in our Christmas story, expectation and reality, the place we began together in Advent, has not always lined up. A virgin with child, a man who could have stoned her for some infidelity, listens to his dreams and not who he is and what he knows. Life comes from a stump, Isaiah. God forgives humanity for the sins all the way back in Genesis. A lot of concepts don't seem to quite line up in a linear sense. If it doesn't line up, then I am forced to consider that something is wrong. Something's showing up here for me. Besides, it is possible it is not lining up from our perspective because we don't see, perhaps, through God's eyes tonight. We don't realize how the birth of the vulnerable Son of God changes everything for us. It is possible that the societal, political, spiritual essence of this story that we hold on to tonight, the only thing we hold on to combat fear, is that Jesus chooses to come as Emmanuel, as God with us. Or as John Milton so wonderfully says, he, Jesus, forsook the courts of everlasting day and chose with us a darksome house of mortal clay. If that is the case, that Jesus came to defeat fear in us, a fear that we created because things don't always line up in our minds for us, then the response, our response, as we continue to worship tonight, as we prepare with the sacraments and to share the light, is an immensely personal one. Just as what I am afraid of in my life is not always what you are afraid of in yours, my response to Emmanuel can be and will be different than yours. It's between me and the divine what I have to say to God tonight because he comes. God only asks you tonight in these narratives to spend some time, a little bit of time, in reflection, in response. So as we continue tonight, as we sing, as we break the bread and pour the cup and light the candles, I encourage you, I charge you to find some space, to pause, to reflect, space to see that fear is possible, it certainly is, and yet to thank God for choosing to be with us in a darksome house of mortal clay. Let us pray.